I want you to open your Bibles, please, this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, please. And I need to read about 16 verses here, so you follow along in your Bible as I read you. The parable of the householder starts in verse 1, and it is a tremendous parable that teaches us something that we need to see this morning. Chapter 20 of Matthew's Gospel, and let's begin, please, reading in verse 1. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you there. You may feel free to use it. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. 20 is right after 19. Everybody with me? All right. Okay, let's look at verse 1. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour." Now please take note of that. Verse 6 says, "And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, when the evening hour was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." I want to speak to you, going back to the sixth verse. I want to speak to you from this whole parable, really. But I want to take my thought from the sixth verse and speak to you this morning on the 11th hour man. The 11th hour man. Let's pray together and end the message. Our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, these are some wonderful verses that tell us a wonderful story that, of course, is filled with application. And Lord, as we look at this parable this morning and look at its application, I pray your richest blessings to be upon it. Father, help me as I speak. I want to be a blessing to folks, and I want to be an encouragement to hearts. But Lord, I need you to help me today. I pray that, Lord, you will just bless in a mighty way the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, you know every person in this room, and you know every heart. You know who's saved and who's not. You know those that perhaps think that they're saved, when in reality they were never born again. Lord, speak to that heart this morning. Help us all, Lord, to see our need of the Savior. And Lord, I pray that you will use the message. I pray that you will use your Holy Spirit. Lord, to do a work that only You can do. So bless us now richly together, we pray in Jesus' name and amen. The Lord Jesus said and taught some amazing things in that week before He went to the cross. And before us this morning is one of those lessons that is a parable. Of course, you know that a parable is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. In the first part of the chapter, in verse 1, He tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like unto. So He is telling us a story here about the matter of salvation, about the matter of how a person can be saved and why a person should be saved. And so this is a parable that is dealing with the matter of getting saved at the last minute. You will notice here that He talks in verse 6 about the 11th hour. In other words, this man that is at the marketplace at 5 o'clock in the evening, and the day ends at 6, and it's 5 o'clock in the evening, and so he gets employed, he gets a job with only 1 hour left in the day. Right at the just in the nick of time, this fella gets employed and finds a job. And of course, the application is that in the 11th hour, it is still possible for you to receive Christ as your Savior and go to heaven. You know, thank God for the person that gets saved young in life. But, hey, the simple truth of the matter is Jesus loves everyone. He died for everyone. And if you wait until the 11th hour, if you wait to the last minute, the good news is God is still going to accept you. That's the good news about it. And so in Bible terminology, the day had 12 hours to it. Now, the night had 12 hours to it. The day started at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it went until 6 o'clock in the evening. And then the night started at 6 o'clock in the evening, and it went till 6 o'clock in the morning. And so this parable teaches that it is possible for a man to get saved in the 11th hour or just in the nick of time. I mean, the day is over. And this man in our parable at 5 o'clock in the evening is still outside the kingdom. There are, of course, many ways to preach from this parable. There are many directions to go. But I want to approach it this morning from the standpoint of the 11th hour. Now, if you think about it, folks, I think you'll have to agree with me that it is better for you to get saved early in life. It's much better. I wish I had gotten saved earlier in life. I didn't get saved until I was 16 years of age and had sowed a few years of rebellion under my belt. I sure wish that I had gotten saved earlier as a child. It would sure be better not to have to carry around some of the scars of sin. It would sure be better not to wait and develop appetites which you have to battle throughout your whole Christian life. But the amazing thing is that the grace of God is available right up to the 11th hour. So if you have waited to get saved, I mean, for whatever reason you've waited, if you've waited until the 11th hour, it is good to know that you can still get in. Now, there are a few things that I want to point out to you, just some general observations from this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want you to notice with me in the story, as the Lord Jesus tells the story, there is no hint that this man was a bad person. There is no hint. There is no sin mentioned that he has committed. As far as we know, this fella is just an average guy. There is absolutely nothing here in the text that gives us any indication that he was a bad man or that he was some kind of a horrible individual. The Lord does not even give us the slightest hint that this man was a bad man. As a matter of fact, there are others in the Bible that we could call 11th hour men, and we know for a fact that they were real bad people. The Bible points out their sin, but this fella, there is no mention of it whatsoever. This man was a good man. Now, there's some others in the Scripture, and the Lord reveals to us their wickedness and tells us about their sin. For example, I call to your attention perhaps the most famous 11th man, 11th hour man, which is the thief on the cross. I mean, if ever there was an 11th man, this 11th hour man, this thief was it. I mean, he had left home. He had broken his mother's heart. He had caused his daddy to lose hours of sleep and had grieved his father's soul. And he chose a life of crime and a life of sin. And when we are introduced to him in the Scriptures, sin has taken its toll in his life, as it always does. And he is just a few hours away from death, being crucified alongside of the Savior. And the amazing thing is, there was another thief that was crucified alongside of the Lord Jesus. So two of them, one on either side. And this 11th hour man cries out to the Lord. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And so in the 11th hour, he got saved. The Lord Jesus said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So he got saved right at the 11th hour. You will remember, however, there was another fella, and he continued his scorning. He continued to laugh and mock, and he rejected the grace that was offered to him even in the 11th hour. But thank God this one guy got saved. But now here we are in this passage of Scripture. And this fella is standing against the backdrop of the marketplace. And that tells me something. This tells me that he was not out there seeing what he could get into. He was not out there looking for trouble. This was just an ordinary fella, a guy like you and like me, who for whatever reason has waited until the 11th hour to find work. For whatever reason, he has put off the decision to get a job. And, of course, the implication is that there are surely lots of people who have put off the decision to trust Christ as their Savior for whatever reason. And who knows, there are multitudes of reasons that we come up with. But here's a fella who waited until the last minute, to the 11th hour, before he made his decision. He's not like the prodigal son that has rebelled, and everybody knows he's rebelled, and he's out in the far country wasting his inheritance and wasting his life, and he's never going to amount to a hill of beans for in his life. He's not like him at all. There's no comparison to be made. This guy is not like the robbers that were hanging out on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho and leaving people half dead by the road. Not like these guys at all. No, here's a man who is standing for the ordinary man. He's a well-intentioned person. And yet, in the 11th hour, he is still outside of the kingdom. Now, you understand, he's just a man like you and me. All right, now, let me also call to your attention. Let me show you something here. Even though he's an ordinary guy, and even though he is a well-intentioned man, the Lord makes sure that we all understand that he is not without excuse. I mean, here he is, and he is waiting to the very last minute, and it's just like our Lord to point this out in the story. But when the man was asked, "Why are you standing there?" the only thing that he could say, but it was an excuse. And by the way, folks, that's all it ever is when anybody is not yet saved. Just an excuse. It's not a reason. It's just an excuse. And he said to the householder, he said, "Well, no man has hired me. Nobody has hired me yet." Now think about it, folks. This was an excuse. It was certainly not a reason no man would hire me. That's certainly not a reason. Because if you'll remember, we're already told that he went out early in the morning. That was at 6 o'clock. He went out at the third hour. He went out at the sixth hour. He went out at the ninth hour. And finally, at the 11th hour, the man responded and came. Had he been there, had he been in the place where the householder came, had he been in the marketplace, no doubt he would have gotten hired earlier. And so I think the implication and what is embodied in the parable is the idea that this excuse is not entirely valid. For you see, folks, at the third hour, again at the sixth hour, even in the ninth hour, the householder was out there in the marketplace trying to find workers. So if this fella had been earnest and had sincerely been trying to find work, I think that he could have gotten and found a job. But here is the story, and there is no hint of him, of that in him. So what is offered here instead is nothing more than an excuse. You see, folks, think about it. At 9 o'clock, he was probably still in bed. Yeah? I mean, think about it. At noon, he was probably, out at the lodge having lunch with the guys. You know, probably sitting around after lunch playing cards for a little while. And then at the ninth hour, he probably thought, boy, I sure could use my afternoon siesta. And so he probably went home and stretched out on the couch and slept for an hour and a half. And so at 4:30, he wakes up and realizes, wait a minute, my family's hungry. I don't have anything to feed them. I better go see if I can find a job real quick. And it was at the 11th hour at 5 o'clock in the evening. There's 1 hour left in the day. The man gets a job. So it's an amazing thing. And the beautiful thing here is that the Lord Jesus takes great pains to show us that this man was not without excuse. Now, there's a second thing that I call to your attention, and that is really the obvious. I want you to focus and notice with me that he was called at the 11th hour. Hey, folks, the day is almost over. It's the 11th hour of the day. It's 5 o'clock in the evening. There's 1 hour left to work, and yet the man is invited to come. Now, think about it. Think about it. We studied the numbers on Wednesday nights in prayer meeting, back in the fall and back in the summer. And we spent several Wednesday nights looking at all the different numbers that are mentioned in the Bible. And we learned what they all mean. All Bible students know that nothing ever happens at the 11th hour in the Bible. This is the only place, and outside of this parable, I do not know of another time where the 11th hour is mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. The third hour is a great hour. It's mentioned often. The sixth hour is a great hour. It's mentioned often. The ninth hour is a great hour. It's mentioned often. And by the way, folks, the third, the sixth, and the ninth, all three of these hours are Jewish hours of prayer. It is the time of the day when the Jews would stop and they would go find a place to pray and talk with God. But nothing ever happens in the 11th hour. I remind you that it was at the third hour that Jesus was nailed to the cross at Calvary. Let me remind you that at the sixth hour is when the darkness fell and Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can I remind you that that darkness stayed from the sixth hour to the ninth? And at the ninth hour is when Jesus lifted his eyes towards heaven and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost and died. But nothing ever happened in the Bible. As far as I know, nothing else ever happened in the Bible at the 11th hour. And so that's important, folks. The 11th hour is the hour where nothing ever happens. And when you can be assured. I mean, we studied the numbers. We looked at them. And we know that when God says 3 or 6 or 7 or 40, we know that there is a theme that is connected to that number and that it will be reflected in the mention, in the story, or in the passage. We know that numbers mean something and that they give strength to the point that God is making. But here in the 11th hour is the hour when nothing ever happens. And I'm sure that folks working in the booths that day, I want you to picture this marketplace in your mind for just a second. I want you to think about the marketplace and see it. See all the tables set up. See the people with their goods and their vegetables and their fish and their meat. See the people as they come day after day after day and work at the same spot. I want you to think about the marketplace for just a moment. And here comes a guy rubbing the sleep out of his eyes. It's 5 o'clock. It's the last hour of the day. And he's rubbing the sleep out of his eyes. And he's walking in the marketplace. And all of a sudden a householder stops and says, "Hey, sir, you want a job? Would you like a job?" I mean, I'm sure the folks working their booths at the marketplace were shocked when the householder came at the 11th hour and offered this man a job. Nobody had ever heard of such a thing. Nobody had expected such a thing. And I'm sure that the most frequent shopper at the market had never known anyone to be called at 5 o'clock in the afternoon with just 1 hour left in the day. But folks, listen, that's what happened in the story. I mean, that's exactly what happened in the story. But I'm sure that our blessed Lord, listen to me now, I'm sure that our blessed Lord would never have told the story if it could not happen again now and happen specifically right here this morning to somebody who, unbeknownst to you, you are in your 11th hour. You see, if it couldn't happen, the Lord would not have told the story. But the good news is, thank God, there are people that even though they've had opportunities in the past, even though they could have gotten saved in their youth, they could have come to Christ as a child, they could have come to Christ as a teenager, but they kept saying no for whatever reason. They kept putting it off for whatever reason. Thank God we serve a God of grace who has made salvation available even in the 11th hour. Maybe someone here this morning. I mean, in a crowd this size, there surely is someone who has come in here this morning and you're not yet saved and you know it. And you're here this morning and you may not even know it, dear friend, but you're in the 11th hour of your life. And yet, in the grace of God, you're here this morning being called. Question is, can you hear the Lord calling you? Can you hear the Lord saying to your heart this morning, "Why are you standing here idle? Why have you not been saved yet?" Can you hear God's call, dear friend? You say, "But Pastor, I have plenty of time." Oh, dear friend, you do not know that. You do not know that you have plenty of time. And it could very well be the 11th hour for you and you not even know it. But know this, dear friend, know this for sure. Based upon what the Lord taught in this parable, you can be assured that the Lord is calling and will save you if you will simply answer the call. I mean, even though for years you may have said no, every time the Lord knocked at the door of your heart, every time He called, you could say no, no, and for whatever reason. I mean, look, who knows what this guy was doing at 6 o'clock in the morning that he didn't get a job. Who knows? Was he asleep? Was he just too lazy? Did he just not care? I mean, who knows what he was doing? Who knows what he was doing at 9 when he should have been standing there with a sack lunch in his hand, ready to go and earn a living and provide for his family? Who knows what he was doing, but he wasn't there? Who knows what he was doing at noon? Could he have been out here more involved in some social thing, in some club or in some sport or in some hobby? Could he have been out here doing something else that occupied his day rather than earning a job, a living for his family? Who knows what he was doing? But I do know this. I know that the Lord said at the 11th hour, and that encourages me, dear friend. Because that means that there may be somebody right here this morning, and you said no, and you said no, and you said no, and God has knocked, and God has spoken, and you said no, and you're in your 11th hour right now. But you can be saved this morning if you just will. The Lord is calling. There's a third thing I want you to notice with me. I want you to notice that this employer was an extraordinary man. He was an extraordinary man. I think that that is the point that the Lord Jesus is so eager to impress upon us. I mean, listen, folks, had the employer been thinking of anything but his grapes, he would have never acted in this amazing fashion. Had he been thinking about anything else other than getting his grapes in, he would never have acted in this amazing fashion. I mean, think about it. To hire men when the working day is coming to a close in just 1 hour, and then to pay them such an extravagant amount of money, who ever heard of such a practice? You have to admit that his actions are rather strange. But I can just about imagine that at this time of the story, when Jesus was telling and was getting ready to reveal something to us about the householder, reveal something to us about the character of the householder, about what kind of man could do something like the householder did, I can just about imagine that a big old smile came across his face, and I could just about imagine that he had a twinkle in his eye that told everybody, hey, pay attention right here. You're about to have something wonderful revealed to you. I can just about imagine that the Lord smiled and looked around and said, that's exactly what I'm driving at, folks. For remember that my householder is God. The householder in this story is God. And remember that while you may think it's strange that a man would go and hire somebody with only 1 hour left in the day, you may think it's strange, but let me remind you that my householder is God. And God's ways are not your ways, neither are his thoughts your thoughts, Isaiah 55:8. And so the point that our Lord is making is this. This is an extraordinary householder because God is an extraordinary God. This is the God who gave us his only begotten Son to begin with. This is the God who has simply opened the door to whosoever will. Isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, folks, listen, if it had been up to you or up to me to decide who could be saved, you and I, we might come up with some restrictions on that thing, but God didn't do that. He sent Jesus to die for everybody. He sent Jesus to die for the sins of the whole world. And the amazing thing about it is, whosoever will may come. That means that old drunk can come. That means that old pervert can come. That means that prostitute can come. That means that Muslim can come. That Catholic can come. Anybody can come. You came. Thank God for that. It's an extraordinary householder because God is an extraordinary God. This is the extraordinary God who offered his Son so all men everywhere could be saved and go to heaven. Dear friend, can you not see how wonderful God's grace is towards you? Can you not see what the Lord has done? I mean, I don't know who is here this morning, and yet you are not yet saved. I don't know the heart of every person, but be assured, dear friend, God knows who you are. And would you please realize that it is not an accident that you came here this morning to hear that Jesus died for you? Would you please realize, dear friend, that you didn't just happen in here this morning. You came in by divine appointment so that God could say to you through the preaching of the Word of God that he loves you and that he's the householder and that he's calling you and he's saying to you, yes, you've waited and you've waited and you've waited, but now's the 11th hour. You still got time to come, and whosoever will may come. That's the message. That's the message. Oh, dear friend, listen, just as a householder called this man, God is calling you. And you don't know what hour it is, and it could just be your 11th hour. It could be. You need to think about that, dear friend. And if it is, I should not be surprised that our loving, compassionate, merciful God would be calling to you. I should not be surprised at that, because that's the God that loves us. Then there's one other thing I want you to see here. I want you to notice that this 11th hour man got far more than he ever dreamed he would get. Yeah. He only worked 1 hour, but he got the same wage that the guys that had worked 12 hours got. That's pretty good. You say, well, what are you saying, preacher? Well, folks, that shows me something. It shows me that we all get the same salvation when we get saved. There are not degrees of salvation. We all get the same salvation. We all get the same forgiveness of sin. We all get the same right of access to an eternal heaven. I mean, all of us who get saved get to go to heaven and get to enjoy the same Savior and get to enjoy the same eternity. There are not degrees of heaven. The man who gets saved at 5 years of age and has their sin forgiven is just as washed in the blood as the person that gets saved at the 11th hour. And the person that gets saved at 5 years of age goes to the same heaven as the man that gets saved in the 11th hour. That means a thief on the cross enjoys today the same heaven that the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John are enjoying today. Because they all got saved the same way, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thief on the cross enjoys the same heaven as what the rest of us enjoy. Can you imagine the surprise when this fella got his penny? Can you imagine the surprise? I mean, 6 o'clock rolls around, the householder says to the servant, go over and call the men in, it's time to quit. So he goes over and calls, and all the men come, and they're all standing there with their hands out. And he told the servant, he said, now you start at the beginning and work your way back. Start with the man that was hired first and work your way back to the men that have been here all day. And so the man standing there with a bag of coins in his hand, and he tells them to get in line in order in which you were brought in, the last to the first. And so the man that worked 1 hour, one measly hour, and by the way, the sun is setting on this guy. I mean, it's not blazing hot like it was at noon when the other guys were there. And so here he is. He's standing there first in line, has his hand out, and the man reaches in a bag and takes a penny and drops it in his hand. The guy behind him who came in earlier in the day thought, hot dog, looky here, I'm going to do well for this day's work. The guys that were hired at 6 in the morning, they're standing back here and they're peeking around and they're looking and they're saying, whoo, looky here, man, I'm going to do well today. No, dear friend, that's not the way it works. We all get the same Jesus. We all get the same heaven. I mean, I'm sure he stood there and thought, this is for me. You're giving me all of this. I'm sure the others were shocked to see the householder hand the man the same thing they'd received. But imagine the 11th hour man just standing there with this grin on his face. But folks, isn't that just like our Lord? Isn't that just like our Lord? I mean, think again of the thief on the cross. He is suffering. He is hanging there. He is bleeding. He is wishing to die. He sees the soldiers coming towards him with an iron bar. He knows that the purpose for which that iron bar is being carried in his direction. He knows that in just a few moments, they're going to take that iron bar and they're going to break his legs, which will cause him not to be able to hold himself up, which will cause him to lunge forward. And he knows that after they break his legs, in just a few minutes, he will die of suffocation. He knows that. He knows that his death is imminent. And as he hangs on the cross, the soldier takes the iron bar and hits him across the shins with it, breaking his legs and causing such agonizing pain. And it flashes into his mind in just a few minutes, he's going to be gone. And sure enough, a few minutes later, he opens his eyes in the presence of the Lord. He got in at the 11th hour. But the point is, dear friend, he got in. He got in at the last minute. Yes, but he got in. And listen, can you imagine? He wakes up from death in paradise, and he looks around, and there's Abraham, and there's David, and there's Isaac, and there's Jacob. And he looks around, and he goes, whoa, wait a minute. I just got in at the last minute. And the Lord said, yes, sir, but you got in. That's what counts. And now you enjoy the same heaven as all the rest of them. Oh, my friend, what a God of grace that we have. He got far more than he ever thought he would get. By the way, isn't that what Paul said we would get? He said in 1 Corinthians, "I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Hey, folks, heaven is going to be so wonderful. But the question is, do you know the Lord? And I dare say that there is an 11th hour man or woman right here this morning. You say, well, why would you say something like that? You saying somebody here is going to die? No, I'm saying that there's an 11th hour man or woman right here. You say, I'm not saying you're going to die. You're eventually all going to die unless Jesus comes back and raptures Christians home. But listen, there's probably some 11th hour man right here in that this could be your last knocking. This could be the last time the Lord knocks at your heart's door. You may have said no and said no and said no, and now here you are at the 11th hour. It may be God will never speak again to your heart. Wouldn't that be a sad thing? You say, how do you know? How do you know this could be somebody's 11th hour? I tell you how I know. I don't believe the Lord would have me preach on this as a warning if it were not. There's a whole Bible here I could preach from. But yet this is the direction that the Lord led me to preach today. I'm saying, dear friend, you're being called by the householder. Can you hear it? Do you hear that? That's the householder calling to your heart. Would you come? I mean, the day is almost over. The time is now. How many times does God have to call you before you're going to come? Huh? Hey, let me ask you, how many sermons do you have to hear before finally you'll come? How many times do you have to be told the gospel before you believe it? It's the 11th hour, dear friend, and it's time to come to Christ. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Father in heaven, we thank you for your abundant grace. And Lord, we realize our need today. Our need is the Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you will bless it and speak to hearts. I pray, dear Lord, that every one of us sitting here this morning will search our souls right now in the light that we've been given from the Scriptures today. Lord, help us speak to hearts and draw someone to yourself. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one's looking around. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. My faith is in Christ. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt about it. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know Christ is your personal Savior? You say, Preacher, I know that I'm saved. There is absolutely no doubt about it. I know that I'm born again on my way to heaven. If I died right now, I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. You may put your hands down. Now, our heads are still bowed, our eyes are closed. My friend, I want you to know that God loves you. Oh, He loves you. You say, well, God loves me? Yep. You want me to prove it to you? He loves you so much, He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sin. Had you been the only sinner on the planet, God would have still sent Jesus to die for you. That's how much He loves you. Why would you say no to His grace? Dear friend, there is no other way. There is no other way than to come through Christ. Now, I don't know why you haven't been saved yet. I don't know. I mean, the Lord probably spoke to you at a young age. He spoke at the 6 o'clock hour. He probably spoke at you at the 9 o'clock hour. He probably spoke to you at the 9 o'clock hour. I mean, you know, probably. But yet here you sit, you're still not saved. Don't you think it's time? I mean, don't you think it's time? Sure it is. It's time you give your heart to the Lord. You know, you think about that thief on the cross, think about it for a minute. Where else was he going to turn? Huh? I mean, he's nailed to a cross. He's dying. He's only got an hour or so to live. Where else is he going to turn? He can't come down from the cross and turn over a new leaf. He can't come down off the cross and reform himself. He can't go join a church. His only option is to call out for grace. In the 11th hour, he called and he found it. Oh, my friend, you need the Lord today. Now, don't wait. Don't put this off. Today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. It may be your 11th hour and you don't know it. But God does. And God's given you a chance right now. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. How many of you here today will say, "Preacher, I could not raise my hand to say I know for sure that I'm saved. But I want to raise it right now and say, Preacher, pray for me. I know I need the Lord. I know I need to be saved. And I want you to pray for me right now." Would you lift your hand, dear friend? Let me pray for you. Just lift your hand right now and let me remember you in prayer. I'll not embarrass you, I promise. Nobody will know who you are, just you, me, and God. But I will pray for you. Pastor, I'm not saved yet, but I know I need to be. Pray for me. Pray for me. I couldn't raise my hand with everybody else, but I'll raise it right now and say, "Preacher, pray for me this morning." Anybody like that this morning? "Pastor, pray for me. Let me pray and ask God to help you." Anybody? All right, how many Christians here today will say, "Pastor, God's speaking to my heart today. I'm saved, but I'm not living for the Lord. And God's speaking to my heart. I know I need to serve Him better." Would you lift your hand, Christian? Let me pray for you all over this building. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Many hands. God bless you. All right, thank you. You may put your hands down. You know, truth of the matter is, some of you folks need to join the church and start getting busy for the Lord. You might be in the 11th hour. You know, we're probably in the 11th hour right now and don't know it. The Lord's coming back, and it could be today. What have you done for the Lord? You better get busy. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you will bless it to hearts. And Lord, you know the need this morning. I pray that you will bless and meet needs in our hearts. Lord, may this altar be filled this morning. I pray that folks will be making decisions today that will change, Lord, their hearts and change their attitudes and get them busy in serving the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that folks will come and join the church today. Lord, I pray that you will just bless and touch our hearts. And Lord, save some soul today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.